We'll be in the book of John the whole time this morning. And the Lord has allowed us to live in the country of Thailand since the end of 2019. And as the video said, of course, a few months after we moved, we celebrated our anniversary. And then right there in March, the whole country went into complete shutdown. Of course, COVID happened around the world, but Thailand was the very first case outside of China, that the recorded case. And so for months and months and months, we were pretty much confined to our house. And so moving to the mission field is a big move in itself, not speaking the language yet, not knowing the culture, but then just being kept in your house for months. So that was an adjustment. But as the country opened back up and we got to get involved in ministry and learning the Thai culture and the language and working with the youth department there where we were working with, and God just did a lot of great things and seeing people saved and come to church and growing in the Lord. And then we moved to the city of Bangkok to go to Thai school. And by God's grace, after these years now, my wife and I can both speak Thai and preach in Thai. My wife teaches in Thai. And Judah, he can count to 10 in Thai. But we're just thankful for God's grace in that, because Thai is not an easy language to learn. If you want to see what it looks like, I have a Bible in the back. You can check it out. But Thai has 5 tones. You can say one word 5 different ways, depending on how you use your voice. And so you got to be careful what you're saying. But also, the vowels come before the consonant, after the consonant, above the consonant, below the consonant, and sometimes all 4 at the same time. And so it's a fun little puzzle to put together there. But it took a while to finally get there by God's grace, but we're thankful for that. And so we're looking forward to getting back to Thailand. February 1st is our plane ticket. Our son will be born in the middle of November. So Lord willing, if we get our paperwork all together, get passports in that time, we'll be back on a plane February 1st and back to our home and to where we love to live and serve the Lord in the country of Thailand. And we'll talk more about that this next hour, but we'll look in the book of John. And Pastor already actually said a question that is the title of my sermon this morning. The question for you is, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you personally? We can pass the microphone around this morning and all of us can give an answer of some kind of who Jesus is. Whether you've been in church a long time or a short time, maybe you're like me. I was born into church. My parents took me to church right when I was born. I've grown up in church, and we can give answer to that question of who is Jesus. But if I ask that question in Thailand, if Adam asked that question in Thailand to someone, to a neighbor, to a friend, and we ask, who is Jesus? Do you know the story of Jesus? Almost 99% of the time, the answer is, who is he? Is he your friend? Is he your neighbor? Who is this person, Jesus, that you speak of? Because they've never heard of him before. They never heard the story of Jesus Christ before. And so myself and Adam and other missionaries and pastors in Thailand are oftentimes the very first person to share with them who Jesus Christ is. And so I want to look in the book of John several different times that Jesus used the words, I am. And he tells us exactly who he is. And these verses might be familiar with already, but I want to encourage us, no matter how long we've been in church, we've been trusting Christ and following Christ in our life, we can stop and ask ourselves that question, who is Jesus to me? Who is he to me this week? Who is he to me today? So we'll start in the book of John. Let's look in the book of John chapter 6 and verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Who is Jesus? Who does he say he is? Very simply, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He says, when you know me, when you follow me, when you are coming to me, if you know me, you're never going to be hungry. You're never going to be thirsty, because I'm the bread of life. I am what fulfills you. I am what sustains you. I am what completes you. Oh, praise God. Christians, if you know him today, if you are following him today, you have everything that you could ever want. There's nothing more in this world that we need or could desire that could ever fulfill us and sustain us like the person Jesus Christ. Of course, we live in a very blessed society right now. We might think, oh, the prices of things are high. Well, I can take you to many places where you will be thankful for these high prices, that you can go to the gas station this morning and buy gas. You can go and buy your favorite cereal. I can walk, you know, that's what I enjoy coming to America. I can go to Walmart, go down the cereal aisle. Like, there's only one aisle just for cereal. That's incredible, you know? I can go down the cereal aisle and look at all the different kinds. You know, many places around the world, we can go to places and see what they have or don't have, and I can stop and think, I have everything I need. But you know those people in Thailand or in Laos where I've been to several times where they have nothing, but they have Jesus. They have the person that is the bread of life, the person that fulfills them, sustains them. And I want to encourage you, if you know Jesus, allow him to be what completes you. Allow him to be what fulfills you and sustains you throughout this week. Who does he say he is? He says, I am the bread of life. We believe him. We shall never thirst. We shall never hunger. Let's continue in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse number 12. This verse is in our video at the very end. And in the video, you'll see the video of a monk, a young boy. In Thailand, we have, of course, Buddhism is the majority religion, 95% following Buddhism. There's temples, Buddhist temples, everywhere you'll go. And in those temples, there are monks wearing their orange robes with their shaved heads, all the ages from the oldest that you can think of down to the youngest. Many times, families will send their young boys, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, to the temples to go be a monk for a few months, a few weeks, whatever it may be. But in that video, there's a video of that young boy with that candle. And the verse was here in John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Who does he say he is? I am the light of the world. Oh, that is encouragement to me today. No matter what is happening outside these church walls, no matter what is happening in this world that we live in a world of spiritual darkness, don't we? We live in a world of sin, but there is light. And the light does not come from me, does not come from the government, does not come from anyone else. It comes from the person of Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. What does it say? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know what that means to me? Is when someone trusts Christ, in that moment, they're going from spiritual darkness, a place that they were going, that they were living in, and the eternity of their life was spiritual darkness and hell. But the moment they trust Christ, the moment someone shared with him the glorious gospel of Christ, their life goes from darkness to light in an instant. There's a man in Thailand. In Thailand, we have Buddhism, as I mentioned, but we have spirit worship, animism. And everywhere you go in Thailand, every house, every business, every gas station, the mall, no matter where you go, you will see a spirit house in front of every business, every house. And what a spirit house is simply, it's a small little pedestal outside somewhere in front of the house or the business. And on that pedestal, there is a miniature house. And they will come in the morning and they will light their incense and put the incense out there. They'll go and they'll bring the fruit from the market and they'll go and they'll get a soda or a water bottle, open it up, put it on that altar, put it on that spirit house. And in the morning, they'll pray to the spirits and ghosts that they believe live around them. They want to appease the spirits so that they can have a good day, and then in return, themselves can have a good day. Spiritual darkness. Everywhere we go, we see it. But what happens when the light of Christ is shined in those areas? People's lives are changed. There's a man, he came to church, and he got an older man. He came to church, and his neighbor invited him to church at our church there, and he got saved. And after he started to grow in the Lord, his life began to change, of course. And he came and asked some of the men in the church to come to his home and to help him get rid of all of his previous things that he used to worship. And so we went out to his house. He lived in the middle of a rice field. You think of a rice field picture, it's exactly what it looked like. And we walked down the small little path to his nothing of a house. And this man was an older man, and we go and we pray with him. And in his yard, he had 5 different spirit houses that he used at one time or another. And we prayed with him, and we broke those spirit houses, and we put them in the back of the truck. We went inside of his small little home that he had, and we went to his altar that he had, and he said, get rid of everything. We took out his altar that he had. We took out of his idols, his incense, everything that he had, and we took it and put it in the truck. And he only owned one picture. He had one picture of himself, and it was of him in his formal lifestyle of cross-dressing and transgenderism, which is very rampant in Thailand. And he said, take this with you too and throw this away because I'm not like this anymore. And so we took all those things to the truck and we threw those all away. And later on, he continued to come to church, and we had a picture day. I remember him coming and asking for a picture. I need a picture with you and the pastors of the church, because I don't have any other pictures. And that's just an example of what happens when we live in spiritual darkness, but the light of the world, Jesus Christ, overcomes all darkness. Who is Jesus? The light of the world, the bread of life. What, no matter what happens today, this week, if you are a believer, no matter where you go, you are walking in the light. Even if you are not completely following Christ with your life, you have the Holy Spirit. Go to him. Seek him. Walk in his light. Let's continue on to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse number 9, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, very simple verse. I know who Jesus Christ is. He's the door. He's the entrance to all good things in life, but he's the entrance to heaven. The most important. He says, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And what happens when we trust Christ and we are saved in Jesus Christ? We also find comfort. We also find rest. It says, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the door. Look at two verses down. It says, John chapter 10, 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, praise God that in life, I'm just like those sheep who need instruction, who need guidance, who need correction. But we have the person, Jesus Christ, in our life, the good shepherd, who leads us to where we're supposed to go. But not only does he lead us, he gives his life for us. The person, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for our sins so that we might have life eternal. I tell often when I speak of this verse that in Thailand, we don't have sheep very much. They don't like 95-degree weather and 95% humidity. It doesn't mix very well. But we have lots of cows, and these cows are just skin and bones cows, I say. But you come around the corner driving your car, and you'll see, 30, 40 cows going from one spot to the next, just like you would find, sheep going from one spot to the next. And they have a shepherd. They have someone that's taking care of them. They have someone that's making sure they're not going to the wrong spot and going to get hit by the train or the car. And that shepherd is not, a guy with a big stick and a staff. It's a guy on a motorcycle with a stick driving around, making sure they're all going to the right area. And I think as a believer, as a Christian, no matter if we've been saved today or many years, we need the good shepherd. We need him, not just so we can follow him, but we need him to also to correct us, to guide us back to fellowship with him, to guide us back to the paths of righteousness. We need the good shepherd. And why should we follow the good shepherd? Well, he gives us life for us. He died on the cross that we might know him, that we might have eternal life. The good shepherd. Let's continuing on to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Why are those two things very important to us today? I am the resurrection. If Jesus was not the resurrection, then he would be like any other person that's ever lived. Yes, he was taken prisoner, and he was beaten and tortured for us, and he died on the cross, and he was buried for 3 days. If that's all that happened, he would be just like any other religious leader that's ever been. He would be like Muhammad. He would be like Buddha. But that's not who Jesus says he is. He says, I am the resurrection. And because of his death, his burial, and his miraculous resurrection, he is the resurrection, but also, what is he? He is life, life eternal. It says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I think we all can stop and testify tonight how we were dead in our sin before we knew Christ. The things that we did, knowing that we needed someone to pay the penalty for our sin, that person, Jesus Christ. But because of the miraculous resurrection, because he is life, because he is resurrection, we were dead in sin, but yet shall we live in Christ. Who is Jesus? The resurrection and the life. Let's continue on to John chapter 15, verse 5. Again, the simple question this morning, who is Jesus to you? Maybe you don't know him personally as your Savior. Maybe you've been thinking about this question of who he is. What is life after death? What happens to me? Or maybe you've been in church for a long time. You can give me a testimony of salvation. And you just maybe need to think and recommit yourself to following the Good Shepherd, to knowing who Jesus is. John chapter 15, verse 5, a verse you might know, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Who does he say he is? The vine. Just like he's a good shepherd and we are the sheep, he's the vine, we are the branches. What must the branch do to produce fruit and must abide with Christ? It must be connected to him. And what will happen? Fruit will occur. Spiritual fruit in our life. I enjoy eating lots of different fruits. Of course, Thailand, a very tropical country. Many different types of fruit. Does anybody know what durian is? Durian? All right. One person. I'll explain very quickly. Durian is a very exotic fruit in Thailand. It's about this big, and it's spiky all around the outside. And it's not cheap. It's actually a pretty expensive fruit. And you go to the market, you buy one of these, and they have to use a big machete to cut it open and peel back the outer piece to get to the white fruit on the inside. And this fruit is famous because it's the fruit that smells like rotting garbage. It's illegal to take on an airplane. It's illegal to take on a train because it smells bad. And they say you either love it or you hate it. I'm the latter. But I also enjoy mangoes, and I think you probably like mangoes yourself, but I go to the market during mango season and get a mango for very cheap, take it home, get to enjoy that sweet mango. But, you know, a lot of work happened before I bit into that mango. I had to go to the market. I bought it. That person at the market got it from a farmer. That farmer had to harvest it. That mango had to stay on that tree for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, starting from very small to very big, before it produced that good fruit that I got to enjoy. As a Christian, when we know the vine and we want to be a branch that abides with him and produce fruit, it's not going to happen overnight. If I start today, it's not going to happen tomorrow that fruit appears. What does it take? It takes faithfulness. It takes abiding in him day by day. Who is Jesus to you? He's the vine. Are we abiding with him? Let's continue on to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You think to yourself that question and the answer of who Jesus is. I am the way, the truth, the life. Of course, in a different cultural context of Thailand, a different religious beliefs of Thailand, and we can see what they believe and what people believe around the world of how do they believe they can go to heaven. Of course, in the Thai context of being a Buddhist is you've got to do lots of good works. You have to do lots of works to go to heaven. Go to the temple, pay the money at the temple, say prayers, light your candles, do good works to others. And if you earn enough merit over time, and it outweighs your bad, that's how you can go to heaven. Maybe not in this lifetime, but maybe the next lifetime you can try again. But as a believer who is following Jesus, and if we believe the Bible, we can look very simply that he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. And there's only one way to heaven, through the person of Christ. And there's only one truth of that question of how do we go to heaven, and that's the way, Jesus. In Thailand, if you go to Bangkok, there is a museum. And my wife and I have been there before. It's a Buddhist museum that teaches about Buddhism, and there's about a 200-300-foot-tall elephant with three heads that overlook the area there. Very imposing. And we've been there. We went there one time, and you start in the basement, and it talks about hell and the beliefs of hell and whatnot regarding that. And you go into the main area, the main room of the elephant, inside the elephant, and as you enter, you'll see a staircase. You'll see a staircase that starts at the bottom, goes to the right, up to the right, up to the left, and joins back together at the top. At the top, it doesn't lead to anything else outside or into another room, but it goes to the left, to the right. Very beautiful. Mosaiced and lots of pictures around. And around that staircase inside the elephant, there are these different pillars that's holding everything up. And if you look at the pillars, they all have an inscription in English and in Thai about a different religion. For example, it says Islam. Islam, belief for eternity is they believe this, this, and this. The next pillar, Hinduism, and the next pillar, another religion. Speaking about those religions' belief of how to go up the staircase to heaven, which way you're going to go. And the last one that we looked at was Christianity. This is the first time that I've seen anything written about Jesus Christ in Thai that is not in regards to a church or a missionary in a public setting. And in Thai and English, it has a picture of Jesus on the cross. It says, the Christians believe that Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth, died for their sins, and was buried and rose again. We must believe in Jesus for salvation. Man, that's awesome. That's wonderful. Praise God. But when you step back and look at what they're trying to show is that there's a staircase. You go to the right, go to the left. You believe this way, you believe that way. It doesn't matter because they all are going to end up at the top there of heaven. You be a good person, you do this and that. I know that that's not true. I know if I read my Bible and I simply just believe the words that Jesus says, that he says, I am the way, the only way. He is truth. There's only one truth, the person of Christ. And I must be aware of what is false so I can go back to the truth and correct what is false. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and I am life. Praise God that no matter what happens tomorrow, this week, next year, I know that Jesus Christ is life eternal. There's in our video, there's a Thai pastor, an older pastor who we worked with in Bangkok at the church there. And he's retired many years now. He's in his 70s. And just 2 days ago, his wife passed away from cancer. Many years from faithfully serving Christ. And I think about that question of who is Jesus to her. She knew exactly who Jesus was, and she gave her life to him and their life as husband and wife to minister towards Christ. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If today you don't know him, you don't know the answer to that question, you can know him today. I want to end with this last verse here in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Excuse me, John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We won't read all the verses, but just for some quick context, Jesus is at the temple and he's speaking with the Jewish people at the temple, and he begins to reveal himself of who he is. Again, the Jewish people are following, they're doing their best to learn about God and the things of God, but Jesus is there revealing himself to them. And we can start here. Let's just start in verse 53 for the sake of time. Verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, speaking to Jesus, now we know that thou hast the devil, Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? So he reveals himself to them. Then he said, then the Jews say to him, are you better than Abraham, who's lived many, many years ago? Are you better than the prophets? Who do you think you are? Verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Jews don't know exactly who Jesus is talking about, who he says that he is. He says, the person you follow, Abraham, rejoiced to see the day that I would come. But he also says something convicting to me in verse 55. To the Jews, he says, ye have not known him, but I know him. You know, the Jews dedicated their life in the temple there to learn about God, but they did not recognize who was standing right in front of him. As Christians today, we can be just like that. We can know God. We can come to church. We can sing the songs of praise and have all these things going on in our life. Yes, I know God, but we have not done exactly what Jesus said. He says, you know about him, but you don't know him. You don't know him. You don't know who he is. In verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Again, who are you? You're not that old. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Those two words we've been saying time and time again. We look at one more time. He says, before your person, Abraham, Abraham's a great person. He's rejoiced to see the day that I will come before. But you follow Abraham and you talk about the prophets, but before Abraham ever was, I've been, I am. Well, praise God that Jesus has always been, he always will be. No matter the good that happened yesterday or the bad that's going to happen tomorrow, he is the I am. They didn't like that very much. They didn't like him calling them out. saying that you know about God, but you really don't know him. You don't know the truth that he's saying. In verse 59, then they took up stones, they cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They didn't like that. They tried to hurt him and stone him. We think about that question, who is Jesus? Jesus says, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. No matter what's going to happen this year, next year in our life, I am. I'm never going to change. That's a great thing we can find comfort in. We don't have to worry that Jesus is going to show up if I try to pursue him. He's going to be there. He's not going to change. He's not going to be different than who he was 2,000 years ago than who he is today. He is the I am. We think about those seven different times we looked at the bread of life, the light of the world, the way, the truth, the life, the door. I want to encourage you to this morning, as I mentioned before, no matter how long you've been here, this church or another church or in your Christian journey, think about that question and make it real to you. Maybe you don't know him today, but today can be your day of salvation. Today can be the day that you trust Christ as your Savior, knowing that there's no other way to heaven, there's no other door to enter to heaven except through the person of Jesus Christ. And he loves you. He's that good shepherd who willingly died on the cross for your sins. Maybe you are saved and need that encouragement. Yes, these are all things that Jesus says he is. Now, what am I going to do with it? Am I going to be like the Jews in the temple that Jesus says, you know about God, you know the things, but really you don't know him? I'm standing right in front of you. Let's all stand and we'll have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I'll turn it over to Pastor here. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you. Lord, we thank you for this church and their heart for missions. I've seen it. I know it firsthand. My brother has testified to how much this church has blessed them and encouraged them. And I know their heart for supporting pastors around the world, Lord. But we just stop and think about that question this morning of who you are to us. And Lord, I pray that you help me personally, Lord, as I speak, to be different and to pursue you and to know you. And Lord, I've been in church many, many years in my life, but there's so much more I need, and I need you. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that maybe has been to church or in church or knows about God, but maybe hasn't made that decision to trust Christ as their Savior, that today can be the day of salvation for them, that they'll simply know that Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is the way, the truth, the life, that no man can come to you, God. No man can enter heaven except through our faith in Jesus Christ on his sacrificial death on the cross. And Lord, I pray that you be with Pastor Paul, Lord, as he leads this church and the other pastors. And I pray that you'll bless them, encourage them, and that this church will be used as a pillar of this community and this state and around the world as they do what they do for you in getting the gospel out. We love you in your name. Amen.